You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about the black tax and how it affects the lives of so many people, especially Africans in particular. And today, we're joined by Undumi Hadebe, who is the author of Handle Black Tax Like a Pro. And she'll be sharing her perspectives on black tax, how to set boundaries, improve relationships, which is what I'm looking forward to, and how to achieve a freedom as well. And remember that you can join us if you want. In fact, we ask you to be involved on +27734703520 if you do have a question for her. And I believe she's already joining us on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapelo. Thank you for the invitation, and good evening to your listeners.
Ah, indeed. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it. How was your day?
It's been wonderful. Thank you very much.
Ah, wonderful. Do you must share a bit of that with me, because my day was just another Monday. You know, Mondays, I don't like Mondays. Like, they just have a thing.
So how I win with Mondays is that I believe Mondays, I anticipate them to be great.
Ah, that's
the trick. As a result, they always are.
Ah,
great. Yes.
Yeah. I must learn a thing or two about that, eh? Because your Mondays, guys, are just something else. But yeah, I must anticipate them, and then they'll become better. Happy New Year. I don't know if you're still taking New Year's.
Well, I suppose, why not? Thank you, I receive, and right back at you. I mean, you should be wishing me Valentine's, Happy Valentine's,
okay.
Or something or the other.
Oh, okay,
they're
okay.
Coming up. I think it's this week. Yeah, that's like in 2 days.
In 2 days' time. So let me rephrase. Let me try that again. Happy Valentine's Day to you, you know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And to you.
Thank you so much. Hope you have a beautiful one. But thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We're talking about black tax. And I always find it interesting when we talk about these sort of topics, because it's almost like some people are saying it's colloquial, right? It means nothing, basically.
Sure.
And some people actually experience it, and they're like, no. We actually experience it. But before we get into that conversation, I want to catch your thoughts. We started the show by a quote that we get from Jackie. And Jackie says, it's better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. It's better to look ahead and prepare
than to look back and regret.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I speak about that a lot in the book. In fact, the reason why the subtitle of the book talks about setting boundaries, improving relationships and achieving freedom is precisely because I believe that this generation that you and I are in, we are tasked with the responsibility of ending the cycle of poverty in black communities.
Yeah.
We are the first generation to access real money. We are the first generation to access real opportunities anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
We can earn in dollars sitting right here.
Yeah.
We can do things digitally.
Yeah.
So how we manage ourselves, how we manage our money, how we manage our boundaries. And boundaries are basically about managing your primary resources, your time, your money, your energy.
Yeah.
And for those who are self-employed and, you know, who are consultants, IP as well.
Because
a lot of people give away all of that for free or for very little. But coming back to the that you mentioned, when I talk about boundaries, I'm asking black families to be deliberate about how they approach money, how they approach black tax.
Yeah,
even the fact that at this point in time it's taboo to talk about black tax, yet stop orders are going off every other week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about it? Who is lying to who about this situation? So the more we talk about it, the quicker we can find solutions for it.
Yeah.
Then the quicker we can make sure that Ndumi and Tapelo's kids do not have to inherit you and I as their black tax.
Eish. You challenged us
so
there.
So I agree with that quote.
Yeah, you challenged us there when you started. You're saying we who are living in this generation actually have a task to make sure that we end poverty. Yo, ma'am, that's a very big, a tall ask, eh?
We do have that responsibility because we are the first generation to access real money, to access real opportunities, to expand. We can sit here and access and sell an ebook to someone sitting in China in dollars, you and I.
Yeah.
And this is something that was never available for our parents.
Yeah.
So we get to make the call how we proceed going forward.
Sure.
The unfortunate thing is that we are yet to realize that responsibility.
Yeah.
So our parents, our forefathers, their responsibility was for them to gain us political freedom.
Yes.
Our responsibility is to gain us economic freedom.
Yes. Yeah.
The question is, what systems are we putting in place to get there?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we can't get there by, by being heavily debted, by having expensive metric dance, splurges, and so on. It's not that I think kids should not have access to those things, but you got to think about it. If the metric dance is in June and we spend 10,000 rand on the metric dance, and the following year that person cannot register, we got to question the priorities of that family.
Yeah, sure. That's a statement that I know that a lot of people are not going to like you for, especially young people who are doing matric. Is just, ruining things for us when we are ready.
I completely understand.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to take the risk and be willing to not be liked.
Yeah.
But speak the truth. Because if we don't, then we are misusing, we're abusing the platform, the platform that you have, the platform that I have.
Yeah.
God basically channeled this book through me for a reason. So I get to decide whether I have regrets at the end of my life, saying I held back, or I tell the truth, And of course, I believe that people should be spoiled, should have fun, and so on. But we must have real conversations as families. We must have the discussion and saying, well, actually, it is. We might not be able to do it at 10,000 rands. Maybe let's do it at 5, and then it still gives us 6 months to actually top up so that you can actually register. Because if we set our priorities as families, is to educate, is to have financial freedom. How we move Monday to Sunday should reflect the priorities that we say we align ourselves with.
Which means every single day. I love that. I want to talk about
every single day.
I want to talk about the book. But before we get into the reason why you decided to write the book, I want to just get your sense of what is this black text thing? Because I really don't want to leave some of our listeners behind or even take it for granted. When we talk about black text from your end, as someone especially who wrote extensively on this, what's the easiest way to understand what this thing is?
So the easiest way to understand it is that black tax is the responsibility that we inherit from our parents and our relatives because they do not have sufficient income to look after themselves, to look after their basic needs or their additional needs, whatever the case may be. So black tax is also a spectrum. Yumi's black tax is not going to be the same as Tapelo's black tax because the circumstances are different. So no one can give you a complete cut and paste of how to solve the issue. That's why the book is told in a series of short stories.
Okay.
And each story is followed by by reflections from me as a coach.
Yeah.
But at the end, it ends with how to confront black text through boundaries. So this is where then we go through things like how to have the difficult conversation. So if someone is saying to themselves they've got 150k worth of of credit card debt.
Yeah.
And they need to reduce the debt.
Yeah.
It means they need to inform the beneficiaries of their black tax
yeah.
that they need to channel more funds
yeah.
into the debt, into debt reduction, as opposed to into giving money to the family. But that should be done in a particular format that is loving, that is respectful, that is truthful, that is sincere, as opposed to just blaming people and saying, look, you've now gotten me here, right? So the way that the book is unfolds is such that it builds your relationship with you, because obviously having boundaries builds your relationship with you, and it also builds your relationship with your family, because most people struggle with their boundaries because they fear that setting the boundary will jeopardize the relationship.
Shoo. That's a mouthful there. I want us to unpack it in just a moment from now.
Sure.
But why did you decide to write this book, Handle Black Tax Like a Pro? What was the decision behind it?
So I would say it found me already on a path of my personal boundaries.
Okay.
Something that I struggled with, I would say, pretty much all my adult life. And how you know that you struggle with boundaries, you just simply look at all areas of your life and you see if you're struggling with money, then boundaries are an issue there. If you're struggling with relationships, then because boundaries basically dictate how we interact with other entities, whether that entity is money, whether that entity is with yourself, and so on. So people that struggle with boundaries with themselves, it's something like, I'm going to go to gym and get a membership and then not go.
Yeah.
It means I have unhealthy boundaries with me. I don't keep the promises that I make with me. So it means the relationship with me will score low.
Yeah.
But coming back to why I wrote the book, it's during COVID, we were sitting and confined in our spaces, and people were complaining a lot on social media about how the demand for black tax continued, despite the fact that they didn't have income.
Sure.
And a lot of people were just complaining on social media.
Yeah.
And because I was already on a path of investigating my own boundaries, how I had fell short already, you know, I had lost my own business and I had acquired a lot of debt, and I just had to do a lot of reflection.
Sure.
And each direction I looked, it pointed to me having had weak boundaries.
And
I got invited once to a webinar where I had to contribute around boundaries after having contributed to a post on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then a writing coach approached me and said, what you shared in that webinar could be a book. And I disagreed with her, and I paid for a coaching session for her to convince me.
Yeah.
And I agreed, and I continued working with that writing coach, because obviously as a coach, I must be coachable.
Yeah.
But the primary reason why I wrote the book is because I realized how people talk about black tax, but not with their families. They talk about it on social media. They talk about it on Twitter. They talk about it at drinks, over dinner, you know, but they don't give their families a right of reply. And I feel that this is killing the family structure. If you feel something towards black tax and you have thoughts, what is so difficult about sharing those thoughts with your loved ones? To build the relationship.
What have you found to be the reasons for that? Is it that, especially for the black community, it's difficult to talk to our mothers, our fathers, our elders? Why do you find in your experience it's difficult to have those conversations?
Well, the main thing is that black tax is an offshoot of money. Right.
Okay.
So money is a difficult conversation to begin with.
Okay.
So remember that we come from a background where there was never money to be had.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was money to talk about.
Yeah.
So it's not a familiar subject. Never mind wealth, wealth creation, never mind financial freedom, never mind ending the cycle of poverty. Right. So we've inherited the outlook of hand to mouth.
Yes. Yes.
The month-to-month mentality.
Sure.
As a result, we've become okay with it because we do not yet see that we have the capacity and the potential to actually end it for our families. We can change it. We can steer things in a different direction.
Yeah.
So we then don't talk about it. So if Thapelo now introduces this topic, you're the first one. So it's a risk. It requires courage. Boundaries require courage.
Sure.
Freedom require courage.
Sure.
It's a risk. It's a risk to set boundaries.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you've been working for the past 10 years, you've been paying, let's say, 30,000 rands towards your family, or you've just been allowing ad hoc requests to come through and you just pay e-wallets there and so on. Suddenly, you call a family meeting and you do it with love and so on, and you put new boundaries.
Yeah.
It's a shock. It's a shock to the family.
Yeah.
And it's like, who is this kid to come and tell us about these newly found boundaries?
Yeah.
But as I've mentioned in the book, I mention in detail how to be consultative in the way that you go about it, but also let the parents see that you finishing debt is beneficial for the entire family. Because our parents don't know how debt works sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't know about interest.
Yeah.
They don't know about being blacklisted.
Yeah.
You know. So for me, for example, as I'm self-employed, the one thing that I've had to work hard for is to remain completely off credit bureau.
Yes.
Because it means, as a director of a company, as someone that wants to continue being involved in other companies, it basically my credit profile is a tool.
Sure.
It's a trading tool. It forms part of the strategy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's something that my family needs me to educate them about. The same way that when I was writing this book, I had to communicate to them that there's things that I cannot participate in. Because my income has lowered so that I can focus my time, my money, my energy to this product. And I had to do that with love and compassion and truthfully and sincerely. I'm not at war. Boundaries are not synonymous with war. Synonymous with explosion and confrontation, you know. But most people, their biggest struggle is that they lack the skill and the tools to communicate with love and compassion, because we've been raised more typically in a hostile manner.
Yeah, sure. I love that the boundaries are not synonymous with war. Just that statement is really a lot. Now, let's go back to this thing about boundaries. You know, in our African culture, for example, boundaries are typically set only by adults, right? Older people in the families, they'll tell us you don't do that. You do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. You do that, and all those sort of stuff. So it's typically elders that set up boundaries and not young people. So what happens in a situation where the family or, let's say, the community has contributed to one success and now expects reciprocity on their own terms? And maybe some might say it's even warranted because they contributed to you being successful today. So how do we then handle that like a pro?
So the one thing that I want people to be aware of, when you receive support, the last story in the book talks to this issue where the child is receiving support from an uncle and wants to understand what does it mean? What's the arrangement? So this is why the issue of talking about these things is so important. You are being supported lovingly, compassionately, learn how to engage people. I appreciate that you are helping me with this, Thapelo. Please help me understand. Now that I've received this X amount, or I'm about to receive so much money from you, what do you expect from me? Because when you ask that, you then upfront can anticipate that this will be the trade-off. But let's say you've not asked, because a lot of us have not asked, have not had the opportunity to express that question or to engage our loved ones about that. It is simple. people cannot dictate how much you help and how you help. It's just, it's ungodly, actually, for people to do that. It's like, if I give you a lift, Tapelo, for 2 years, we come to work together, you and I, and you don't have a car. And then when you buy a car, I now hang this over your head that now you must give me a lift every day because I gave you a lift. This is not applicable because I was giving you a lift because you did not have a car, right? So the expectation that you must now give me a lift, like literally, let's say it must be, you must drive almost all the way back to pick me up. You know, even out of, you must detour, I think that would be the right word. You must detour to find me. Sure. This is me working in a reversed, unloving manner. And it's, it lacks abundant thinking, right? So when a person has received money, it is still within their rights to decide how they help the next person. And also they can budget a fixed amount. People don't have to be all over the place and giving this one money for airtime, this one for data, and this one for this, and because it adds up. And the reason why people are in debt is because they don't see the small amounts leaking in the bank from the bank account. So it's okay for a person who's been helped to help the next person, but they can allocate a specific amount to a specific individual. Because if, let's say, 10 people helped me to go through university, does that mean now I must also help 10 people? Not necessarily. I could educate one child. And put them through school and see to their uniform. And you know what I mean? So I think context matters. So much. And people need to stop helping so with a direct expectation of being helped back. Because it's not always going to be direct. You know, rent for rent, for example. You know?
I love that, and I know the topic of black tax will always rattle feathers a little bit because it's a very very difficult conversation. We've got our brother Emmanuel, and Emmanuel is all the way in Uganda, if I remember very well. And he has a question, and the question is: Good evening, Mr. Tapelo Moloi. I am finding the subject of financial boundaries a little disturbing because it contradicts with the command to love one another. So he asks, how can we set financial boundaries without appearing to be uncaring and unloving? How can we practice this love when we have blocked the financial taps? That's a question.
Okay. You said his name is Emmanuel. So good evening to Emmanuel. So what I would like to make an example for Emmanuel is this. Emmanuel cannot help his loved ones from an empty cup. It is mathematically impossible for him to empower his younger brother, for him to help anyone if he is getting into debt, for example, to help other people, right? Because I'm not saying people should not help their loved ones. I'm saying the way they go about it should be different. So how your mom and my mom did it was different. They used to go and get loans to help each other and make it happen. But you and I know better. We do, we cannot get expensive debts to do things that can be postponed, to do things that can be done later, for example. I cannot renovate my mom's house by getting 200,000 rands loan because I'm going to pay twice the amount to renovate that house. So I'm making my mom poorer and me poorer. So I'm not saying that Emmanuel should not help his family. I'm saying, or relatives, I'm saying the way he goes about it must be financially savvy. Must also be in such a way that Samuel Emmanuel has capacity to save. Because if Emmanuel has no money, he cannot help anybody. So people think that you by helping, but at the expense of yourself, they think that's being loving.
Yeah.
No, you are betraying yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, because it means that you have not taken even the mere 10% of your income to put it away, because you know that at some point, a month down the line, 2 months down the line, a year down the line, a situation bigger than a 10 year old birthday party or a party for a 10 year old will arise, right? Because the issue here is also prioritizing.
Yeah.
The issue here is also instant gratification versus delayed gratification.
Yeah.
A lot of people refuse to save, which is a cheaper way of doing things. You save until you can afford a 25,000 rands worth of a laptop or a 20,000 instead of actually getting it on credit, right?
Yeah.
So it's the way we go about it that I find is destructive. Because why? We do not want to have frank conversations with our loved ones.
Sure. Those frank conversations are actually very important. And I agree with you, because I don't think our family members would be unreasonable if they understand where you can possibly start and where you can possibly end. Right. So that both of you are not in a situation where, like you said, we all run into financial problems now because we are trying to do X, Y, and Z. But if we sit and have frank conversations and we say, you know, to our siblings, to our mothers, fathers, dads, cousins, whatever, I only have from X to Y every month that I can try and help you with up until maybe you do that. Or sometimes say, I can give you, you know, Z so that you start your own thing and run it on your own way, so that I don't necessarily. In that way, you've actually created a more sustainable way for them to actually, you know, run their lives instead of coming back to you every single time. Which then maybe, let's look at it like this, you know, Ndumi, to say there's the improvement of relationships, which I think is what Emmanuel perhaps is worried about. How does setting those boundaries then help to improve relationships? When we talk about black text and setting those boundaries.
So first of all, the setting of boundaries improves relationships because we start clearing the truth. You know, sometimes when you want to speak to people and you have like a lump in your throat.
Yeah.
Imagine that lump in the throat is like an energetic frequency that's standing between you and your loved ones. Right. So let's clear the throat by speaking the truth and saying, you know, mommy, I know it looks like I'm making money. I look rich. Like, I know that I look. So a lot of people, I probably just look, you know, I dress in a way that is creative.
Yes.
My food is not particularly cheap. You know, like a person can look at me and just think, oh, Dumi's got so much money.
Yes.
Right. So, but I owe it to me and my loved ones to say, I actually have this amount of debt that I'm trying to get rid of. I have, my bond is so much, plus levy, plus this, plus that. It is okay to have transparent conversation with our loved ones.
Yeah.
So that there is understanding.
Yeah.
You know, people think that love is about love. You know, I want to be loved.
Yeah.
No, beyond anything, we want to be understood. So when we create situations in families where people can talk about the struggles that they are going through, it creates a bondage.
Yeah.
It creates connection.
Yeah.
And when we can speak it in such a way that we are not accusing our families, where we, instead of me saying, you know, I'm struggling because you did this to me and I helped you do this, that. No, I can simply say, I have reached a milestone where I've sat down and I looked at my finances. And I, underline I, realized that I've made irresponsible financial decisions. And going forward, I would like to change this pattern for this family. by getting out of debt, by closing off debt, by then you mentioned the things that you have to that you have to do, right? I have to close off my credit cards. I have to stop buying things on higher purchase, et cetera, et cetera. Circumstances vary, right?
Yeah.
And when we do it like that, we've built the relationship with the family because now they know your struggle.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
they know your reality.
Yeah.
Right now, most people, they sit with almost like a PR exercise.
Sure.
They look as if they are rich, which to me is a lie. It's a lie to themselves. It's a lie to their families. Even if you give me money, Tapelo, as your friend, our friendship then would not be worthwhile if you cannot have an honest conversation with me and saying, you know, Ndumi, this month I'm actually struggling because of one, two, three. So to have honest conversations where we talk about how we feel, you know, like, to be honest with you, it terrifies me, me personally as Ndumi, to not reach my potential, because that's what happened to my father. He was a wise man. He was intelligent. He was so smart, but he did not achieve his potential. So I can talk to my family about that. Say, guys, it terrifies me, the idea that this pattern in this family, this curse, may be repeating. I would like to give it my all by writing this book, by producing an online course, by doing this, this, that, that, that. And this is going to affect how my ability to show up at family events. It doesn't mean I don't want to. My not showing up is temporal. But long term, when I come back, you will see.
You will see. Sure. And that's what I'm saying.
What are we doing to delay gratification? Now, most people, they want instant gratification, including avoiding having the difficult conversation.
That's why I say, you know, I don't think families are unreasonable, right? I think families are very reasonable. Our parents want what's best for us, and they always look out for us.
Absolutely.
And so if you have that frank conversation with them, look, I love you as much as, you know, I love you, but I can't do this for now. I'm still busy with school. I need to pay this and that and that and that and that. But once I've gotten my education, I can earn a little bit more. And when I can earn a little bit more, perhaps I can even earn and contribute far much more than I can right now. And it just doesn't become a grudge contribution where you feel like, oh, I'm so forced, and then you can't pay school, you can't do that, you can't do that, which could, you know, almost pivot you to a better position financially where you can then, I suppose, contribute better. But these type of conversations are always difficult to do. And I don't know how you navigate these conversations, but they are so, so difficult. But I suppose that's why you wrote a book. How can people get a book, and where can they follow you?
So the book is on is available at Exclusive and all Exclusive Books and other major retail bookstores.
Yeah.
It's also on Amazon and Takealot. And so for bulk orders, I take orders on my website, ndumihadebe.co.za. And on social media handles, I'm Ndumi Hadebe.
Certainly. I would definitely like to have this conversation with you once again, but time is always staying in. But thank you so much, ma'am. Really appreciate your time and great insights. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.